FM 96.1 AM 1170. The Answer.
The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but it bothers you when Christians use the Bible to justify political stands or speak out against certain social issues. After all, shouldn't we keep church and state separated? Well, my friend, if that is truly your position, then you must have had a great problem with the March on Washington in the 1960s, led in the name of Christianity, led in the name of the Bible, led by the Reverend Martin Luther King. Or could it be that you don't really mind Christians getting involved with politics, and you only mind when Christians take political stands that you disagree with? The stand against abortion, for instance, a topic huge in the news this past week. As it happens, when Christians express concern about topics such as abortion, they don't even need to go to Scripture. One can believe abortion is wrong without believing in the Bible. One can believe abortion is wrong even if they are an atheist or an agnostic. One can believe abortion is wrong simply because they believe the taking of a human life is wrong. Period. However, while we're on the subject of the Bible does condemn abortion. The Bible also spends much more time talking about how God forgives the sin of abortion and any other sin. But the child in the womb is certainly identified as a life in the Scripture. When Mary, the mother of Jesus, was with child, she visited her Aunt Elizabeth, who was 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. We are told that the unborn John, as a babe, leaped in her womb with joy upon being in the presence of the unborn baby Jesus. Obviously, the Bible is portraying this infant as being alive. But while people continue to argue about whether a child in the womb is alive, nobody denies that a child outside of the womb is alive. Regarding children already born, the Bible has far much more to say. The Bible speaks out vehemently against infanticide, the willful destruction of a child already born. Many of the ancient Canaanite nations sacrificed their babies on the altar to the fertility gods such as Baal. In fact, for those of you who take issue with ancient Israel conquering the promised land, this was one of the reasons God commanded them to do so, to stop the murder of infants by the former inhabitants of the land. Sadly, there is little difference between modern times and ancient times. America also makes it legal to murder infants. In the name of abortion, we are seeing infanticide. A new law just passed in New York. It makes abortion legal all the way through the third trimester, all the way up to birth. In fact, it can go beyond birth. If a botched up abortion results in a child being born alive, the baby can be refused medical treatment inasmuch as it was the mother's intent to abort. Isn't that nice? Hey, I thought our law says that anyone born in the United States is automatically a citizen with rights. That's what we hear every day in the news when the subject of illegal immigration is discussed. So where is the protection for a baby who, being born after a botched abortion, is refused medical care simply because a doctor claims health reasons for the mother? By the way, this is nothing new. People think it's new, but it's not. Abortion in the third trimester has been legal since 1973. Let me say that again. Abortion in the third trimester has been legal since 1973 in the name of health reasons, and health reasons have included mental and emotional health. Ever since the Supreme Court ruled on Doe versus Bolton the lesser-known companion case to Roe v. Wade. And here are some of the words from the Supreme Court decision, Doe versus Bolton. We agree with the district court that the medical judgment may be exercised in the light of all factors, physical, emotional, psychological, familial, and the woman's age, relevant to the well-being of the patient. All these factors may relate to health. So what's the difference? Why is the new law even needed in New York? Well, since the courts overturned all state decisions prior to Roe v. Wade and Doe versus Bolton, many laws against later term abortion still in the books of states have remained and have been ignored because at the moment they are not in issues. Everybody goes by federal law, not state law. But with Donald Trump appointing more conservative justices to the Supreme Court, Democratic legislators in New York and other states are working swiftly to firm up abortion rights in state laws for the possibility of Roe and Doe being overturned. They're trying to prepare themselves, in which case it will all go back to the states when that happens. Third trimester abortions will continue to have state protection. That's the rationale for doing this. Well, don't be alarmed. We are still a country of justice. In several parts of our country now, waiters can be prosecuted for serving straws. Whew, thank God there's still some sign of civilization left. New York's law, titled the Reproductive Health Care Act, protects women's so-called reproductive rights with a guarantee that New Yorkers can choose and receive abortion services without fear of arrest. Under the Reproductive Health Care Act, even non-doctors are now permitted to perform abortions all the way up to the due date if necessary, provided the mother's health is in jeopardy. And I already told you how we define mother's health. Governor Andrew Cuomo justified this decision as that which gives women the fundamental right to control their own body. Now, that always sounds good, the idea of people controlling their own bodies. But in this case, it begs a major question. If the child is viable and can simply be delivered instead of destroyed, what on earth does this have to do with the mother's own body? The claim is made that the fetus is not viable, but sometimes all that means is that it might be born with Down syndrome or some other problem. That doesn't truly mean the fetus could not live if delivered. In this vein, a Dr. Omar Hamada, an OBGYN, said in an interview with Fox News, and I'm quoting them, "That's actually sick that they're celebrating the death of infants, of babies that could live outside the womb right then. In fact, at the base of the World Trade Center, there is a memorial to 9/11 in which is listed the names of the victims and also the fetuses. I think there were four or six fetuses that were killed, and they list those as victims. And now they're celebrating that they're able to take the lives of those. There's absolutely no reason to kill a baby before delivery in the third trimester. Not a fetal or maternal indication, what we say in medicine. If there's a problem, and there are problems in the third trimester, both with the babies and with the mom that require delivery, just deliver the baby. We don't have to kill it." Well, my friends, that law was passed. But in Virginia, they tried to pass a law that's even worse, difficult as that may be to imagine. In this case, they were not merely protecting the destruction of a fetus up until birth, but even after birth. Democratic Governor Ralph Northam said in a WTOP interview that such actions are, and I'm quoting him, "done in cases where there may be severe deformities. There may be a fetus that's not viable. So in this particular example, if a mother's in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated, if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother." And he said that in just the friendliest, most casual, reassuring voice. Yeah, that's reassuring, all right. They keep the infant comfortable whether deciding whether or not to let it live. Well, that's a relief. For a while, the infant is kept comfortable. They may let it die, but while deciding, they keep it comfortable. That's mighty decent of them. An infant that's already been born. You'd think the news would be all over this story, but as it happens, the leftist media got bailed out of having to report on a story that doesn't fit their leftist narrative because Governor Northam got involved in another mess this week. A different mess. This is really his week. A medical school yearbook picture from the 1980s turned up under his name. It showed a man in blackface standing next to another man dressed as a KKK member. It was not clear which picture represented Northam, but it was by his name, both pictures. He did apologize. He claimed this was wrong and that it does not represent who he is currently. Then later, he walked back his apology, saying it's not clear that it actually was him in either photo, despite the photos being found next to his name and another picture that was his standard yearbook portrait. By the way, CNN originally, while reporting the story, referred to Northam as a Republican governor. He's not. He's a Democrat governor. I guess they must have assumed that only a Republican would promote the Klan, even though the Klan was originally part of the Democratic Party. And Senator Robert Byrd, whom Hillary claimed to admire, served in the Klan for many years before coming to Washington. He did eventually renounce his affiliation. Now Northam's picture supposedly surfaced this week when Democrats were getting a black eye over this infanticide defense. It's hard to believe the Democrats didn't already know about this and weren't sitting on it. These same Democrats, unable to call for his removal from office due to their kiss-up relationship with Planned Parenthood. In fact, when asked about Northam's infanticide comments, Democratic politician after politician claimed they never even heard it. Here's how Speaker Pelosi responded. I'm sorry, I just don't know what he said. But now, almost every Democrat running for president in 2020 is calling for Northam to resign. A lot of other Democrats, too. Not over the infanticide issue, mind you. God forbid they should talk about that. But over the Klan in blackface picture. How convenient. In making him go away, they make his infanticide comment also go away. And they don't have to explain anything. Now, look, I have no idea what that stupid picture was doing in the yearbook under his name. It looks pretty horrible. He did apologize at first. And it did happen in the past, but something he said in the present about the state's right to kill a newly born infant, something he said in the present, something he has not apologized for. Oh, we won't hear much talk from Democrats about that one. How did we reach this point? How did our nation become so evil? Part of it has been that the frog boils so slowly. It's easy to turn up the heat gradually while people are used to incrementally increasing temperatures. Another part of it is that we ignore the great writers and social commentators. In his novel, 1984, George Orwell predicted a time when we would change our speech to nullify the effects of our actions. 1984 has arrived. In fact, this news peak has been here so long it's turned into 2019, and it will go far into the 21st century. Some time ago, to place an emphasis on the truth that abortion is nothing less than the taking of a human life, Right to Life activists came up with a suitable term to describe their position, pro-life. Advocates of abortion found a strategy of their own by dubbing themselves pro-choice. That's very understandable. After all, we didn't expect them to call themselves pro-death.
Call Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. We're talking about infanticide, and I'm raising the question, how did our nation reach this point? Well, because we accepted abortion. The original protesters of abortion called themselves pro-life. People reacting called themselves pro-choice because they're not going to call themselves pro-death. Death is a horrible word. Choice is a nice word, and this fulfilled what George Orwell warned about changing our words to lower the impact and sting of what we're doing. To say that you are against choice is to deny the Constitution and its protection of individual rights. Of course, pro-lifers also claim concern for rights. If, in fact, the unborn fetus is a human being, what could be a more atrocious assault of freedom and dignity than the destruction of this baby? Baby? The pro-choicer shouts with anger. Well, that's no baby. A fetus. Yes, it's a fetus. Fetus, you'll be interested to know, is the Latin word for little one. Fetus means baby. Abortion means termination of the fetus. Termination means kill. They use the word termination more than kill, but termination means kill. And so, class, termination of the fetus is Orwellian for kill the baby. Since Orwellian seems a classier language than English, many wish to keep speaking Orwellian. But Orwell predicted another way of disguising an issue, the rewriting of history. Here is a new history of the right to life movement. You see, it never had anything to do with a concern for the unborn, no. Instead, a bunch of male chauvinist pigs who wanted to eternally suppress women sat around a big coffee table and decided that they were against all forms of birth control. Any man who denies a woman this fundamental right is against feminism in any form. He wants to see all women submissive to their husbands, rustling up grub in the kitchen. That is our new history of the abortion controversy, a clever rewriting of the fact that most of the leaders in the pro-life movement are women. This is not a men versus women issue. This is an issue women themselves are split over. Even women feminists. In fact, there's an organization called Feminists for Life, made up of people who care about the rights of all females, including unborn baby girls. The rewriting of history continues. Pro-lifers are frequently called a lot of ridiculous names, such as fascist. Somehow today, anything conservative is likened to fascism. Please remember that when Hitler brought the real fascism, or a form of it called Nazism, to Germany, it was a very new trend for the Germans. If we really want to evaluate ideologies to see if they remind us of the things Hitler stood for, let's take a look at people like Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, who believed in superior breeding, approved of Hitler's early sterilization program, and advocated forced sterilization for those whom she considered unworthy to produce. Sanger even published an article by Dr. Ernest Rolden, director of the Nazi Medical Experimentation Program, in her journal Birth Control Review. She was also connected with the Klan. In her autobiography, Sanger freely admits this. She wrote, and I quote, "I accepted an invitation to talk to the women's branch of the Ku Klux Klan. I saw through the door dim figures parading with banners and illuminated crosses. I was escorted to the platform, was introduced, and began to speak. In the end, through simple illustrations, I believed I had accomplished my purpose. A dozen invitations to speak to similar groups were offered. And so this attempt to ignore Governor Northam's comments about abortion or infanticide, really, by talking about this Klan picture, are not as separated as Democrats would have you believe. A time may come when the new language and new history are no longer needed. Some pro-abortionists would like to see the day when abortion is as mandatory in the United States as it already is in China. If that day ever arrives, all the pro-choice rhetoric will be out the window, having outlasted its usefulness. There will be no more choice for mother or daughter. But I'm confident we will have some new Orwellian lingo to smooth it over, such as necessary sacrifice for the good of society as a whole, or sacrifice to Baal, as the Canaanites called it. I fear that 1984 is going to be a very long year. Now, I realize that most women, when they have an abortion, do not think of it as murder. In my zeal to call actions what they truly are, I do not want to make a harsh accusation either. It may be sad that our society has learned how to justify this practice, and I am convinced that doctors who perform abortions realize just exactly what they're doing. But a young, frightened, pregnant woman, at least in the early stages of pregnancy, led to believe for whatever reasons that abortion is just another form of birth control, is not a cold-blooded killer and should not be labeled one. Even so, the message of Jesus once again is forgiveness. On the other hand, it is not impossible for people to peer beyond cliches or disguised words and admit that abortion is the taking of a human life. As a matter of fact, many of today's pro-life advocates are people who at one time had abortions themselves or who were prominently pro-choice. Three very interesting individuals representing this changed position are Norma McCorvey, plaintiff in the famous Roe v. Wade case that led to the Supreme Court's 1973 ruling to legalize abortion, Sandra Cano, plaintiff of the companion case, Doe v. Dalton, and Bernard Nathanson, an outspoken doctor who founded the National Abortion Rights Action League and who performed abortions himself. And so there is always room for grace. However, there is not always room for excuses. The claim of sincere ignorance will be much more difficult to float in the case of obvious infanticide. The New York Senate cheered quite enthusiastically at the passing of this law, and Governor Cuomo, quite happy with his decision, had the World Trade Center lit up in pink to commemorate this special time in our history. A line comes to mind from Chapter 3 of the Star Wars saga. So this is how democracy dies, with thunderous applause. This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in three serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Looking for a book you won't be able to put down? Push the Winds Around is a romance set in the context of science fiction. Dr. Brandon Krieger is given the opportunity of a lifetime, a psychologist's dream. Through the usage of his physics professor friend's time machine, Brandon travels 20 years back through time in an attempt to change one man's destiny. Tom Kyle, a convicted and unremorseful murderer, is located in the past when he was a 6-year-old boy. Brandon's mission? To alter Tom Kyle's path and prevent him from being a vicious killer. Matters are complicated when Brandon finds himself falling in love with young Tom's mother. Push the Winds Around, a novel by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Two other disturbing pieces of news were reported last week. Newly elected Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the latest darling of the Democrats, spoke positively of a violent threat by performer Cardi B against conservative pundit Tommy Lahren. Equally disturbing is that neither this nor her numerous fact-challenged comments seem to be affecting the freshman congresswoman's rise in popularity. Now, you'll recall that last week, my co-host Jim Barrier and I were having fun commemorating a lot of her statements that were rooted in anything but accuracy. You'll also recall that I still expressed concern because accuracy seldom has anything to do with popularity these days. A recent online poll shows that 74% of Democrats would consider electing Ocasio-Cortez president if only the 29-year-old was old enough to run. While her charm and pleasant demeanor cannot be denied, her large fan base should concern all thinking people when they watch how she throws around facts. Law-abiding people should also be concerned when they watch the way she weighed in on the Cardi B-Tommy Lahren conflict. This conflict began when Cardi B posted an extremely inflammatory video on Instagram, verbally assaulting Trump and his effing, we've got FCC regulations, so I'll say his effing, racist redneck supporters over the government shutdown. Lahren offered a sarcastic response on Twitter. Looks like Cardi B is the latest genius political mind to endorse the Democrats. Ha! Keep it up, guys. Well, several days later, Cardi B, now aware of Lahren's less than flattering words, posted a tweet of her own. I will dog walk you. Now, Urban Dictionary defines dog walking as when you're beating someone's ass and dragging them as if you were walking a dog. The dialogue feud continued. Tommy Lahren responds, I'm sure you would. Still doesn't make your political rambling any less moronic. Cardi B, you're so blinded with racism that you don't even realize the decisions the president you root for is destroying the country you claim to love so much. You are a perfect example on no matter how educated or smart you think you are still a sheep. Now, it was around this time that Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez decided to weigh in. Why do people think they can mess with Bronx women without getting roasted? They act as though our borough hasn't been perfecting the clapback game since the Sugar Hill Gang y'all just founded on Twitter. Tommy Lahren then responded to Cortez, aren't you the same girl who whines about Trump inciting violence? Now you applaud it because it's against a female conservative you disagree with politically? Convenient. P.S. I do fully acknowledge Cardi B is smarter than you. In final thoughts last week, Lahren said that her Twitter page is now filled with liberals with verified accounts who are applauding and encouraging these threats against her. She went on to point out that the famous Democrat double standard of whining and moaning about violence and then being upset by verbal criticism still goes on. She says this is the Democratic machine at play, and they should be ashamed of themselves. Undoubtedly, Representative Ocasio-Cortez will soon walk back the comment and clarify that she intended no sanction of violence. Like all walkbacks of politicians, it will ring hollow. None of this should be a surprise. There was already reason to be concerned about Representative Ocasio-Cortez. Certainly, this was not the first time she has spoken without evaluating either the consequences or the validity of her words. Where there is smoke, there is fire. It's not totally unexpected that a politician who does not care about facts might not care about unlawful violence either. Speaking of facts, the Ocasio-Cortez record of inaccuracies and misguided ideologies have no boundaries. She predicts that the world is going to end in 12 years due to global warming, but she doesn't seem to understand that the country of Venezuela is virtually coming to an end right now by collapsing in on itself due to the same kind of socialism that she so strongly endorses. Indeed. Ocasio-Cortez admits that socialism is part of what she calls for top earners to be taxed 75%. And she says, I'm quoting, a system that allows billionaires to exist when there are parts of Alabama where people are still getting ringworm because they don't have access to public health care is wrong. Okay, those kinds of words betray a misunderstanding of the fact that jobs are created by top earners. Punishing billionaires will punish many middle-class people as well. The congresswoman also tried to compare the Holocaust to what's taking place on the southern border. She says, asking to be considered a refugee and applying for status isn't a crime. It wasn't for Jewish families fleeing Germany. She seems unaware of the many illegals who have openly admitted that they came to America simply to look for a better job. And while certainly some illegal immigrants have fled violent living conditions from the countries they hail from, that's a hop, skip, and a jump from the Holocaust, where Jewish men, women, and children were gassed and live babies were thrown into ovens, although respect for the life of a baby seems lost on Americans today, I'll grant you. But then much of her knowledge of Jewish history seems to be rather fleeting. Last July on Firing Line, host Margaret Hoover asked Ocasio-Cortez for clarification when she described Israel as an occupier responsible for human rights violations. An uncomfortable Ocasio-Cortez said, well, I think what I meant, I love when they say, I think what I meant. I think what I meant is like the settlements that are increasing. This is like a Valley Girl talking. I think what I meant is like the settlements that are increasing in some of these areas and places where Palestinians are experiencing difficulty in access to their housing and homes. She goes on to say, well, I'm not an expert on geopolitics on this issue. And I just look at things through a human rights lens, and I may not use the right words. Middle Eastern politics is not exactly at my kitchen table every night. Okay, the woman should be given credit for admitting that she was not an expert. Unfortunately, she keeps talking. If you're not an expert, zip it. This does not keep her from continuing to talk like an expert about other matters. She recently tweeted, 21 trillion of Pentagon financial transactions could be traced, documented, and explained. 21 trillion in Pentagon accounting errors. Medicare for all costs 32 trillion. That means 66% of Medicare for all could have been funded already by the Pentagon. And that's before our premiums. Now, media buzz host Howard Kurtz said, this was, I'll simply say in the holiday spirit, spectacularly wrong. She was off by, well, 21 trillion. Now, while Kurtz is part of the conservative-leaning Fox network, the not-so-conservative Washington Post expressed equal concern, awarding Representative Ocasio-Cortez a Pinocchio for the 21 trillion comment. This is Bob Siegel. As a Christian apologist, I hear scorning and ridicule all the time from Bible skeptics and unbelievers. Some churches will still respond to such people with love and understanding. Others do not.
You Christians are such morons. There's no proof that God exists, and only a pea brain would believe in miracles. Wake up! Step into the 21st century. Besides, Christianity is responsible for most of the world's problems.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Relax, my friends. That's not the kind of response you'll get from Skyline Church. We welcome you just as you are, with all your doubts, all your questions, and all your concerns. Your problems with religion are understandable, and I promise at Skyline you'll experience the love of Jesus Christ, not the revenge of a Sith Lord.
Skyline Church, Sunday morning services, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m.
Listen to the time.
been talking about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. PolitiFact Truthometer identified additional false comments from the congresswoman. It's hard to keep up with them all. Her claim that Representative Karen Handel outspent opponent Lucy McBeth 5-1, and a claim that unemployment is low because everyone has two jobs. In August of 2018, long before she was elected to Congress, conservative pundit Ben Shapiro offered Ocasio-Cortez a debate with him. He even offered to pay $10,000 to her campaign or a preferred charity. Cortez declined. She was wise to do so. It might be the first wise thing she ever did. She was wise to do because she knows she would lose the debate. And she also knows that it wouldn't even come close. But she also knows that her supporters love her ability to play fast and loose with the facts. So why bother to defend anything with old-fashioned facts? Says Ocasio-Cortez, if people want to really blow up some figure here or one word there, I would argue that they're missing the forest for the trees. I think there's a lot of people more concerned about being precisely factually and semantically correct than about being morally right. Now, campus reform editor and Fox News contributor Lawrence Jones shared these words with people in Ocasio-Cortez's New York district. They did not seem to care. Asked whether he agreed with her morally right comment, when the facts don't matter, one fan said, overall, yes, I agree. Many conservatives enjoy the gaffes of Ocasio-Cortez as a gift that keeps on giving. They would be wise to take her more seriously. Neither her factual inaccuracies nor her support of a violent threat on Twitter seem to concern the congresswoman's fans. They support her because she connects with them, represents them. If this sounds familiar, just look how the Democrats and the media underestimated the effect Donald Trump had on his supporters and the loyalty he created. Now, while Trump is much better with facts, he and Cortez have one thing in common. They connect with a lot of people. Another area where conservatives may be relaxing prematurely, they assume Attorney General nominee William Barr will get confirmed because he served before and Democratic senators voted to confirm him before. They forget we are living in very different times, oppose Trump at all cost times. They also assume that this man, if he does get confirmed, will clean up the DOJ. Well, maybe. It's difficult for me to make that assumption with anyone these days, despite a good record, despite strong endorsement from conservatives. You'll pardon my cynicism. I once heard similar testimonials about Mueller, and I was appropriately cynical at that time. But anyway, all that aside, accepting this optimism for a moment, assuming Attorney Barr does get confirmed, assuming he is going to be honest, a lot of assumptions, but assuming all that, how will he be able to clean house and replace deep state goons with people of integrity who actually follow the law? Well, maybe we should quote from another movie, our second movie of the day, Sean Connery's words from The Untouchables. If you're afraid of getting a rotten apple, don't go to the barrel. Get it off the tree. Of course, it will also take something the Republicans have not had for a long, long time, a spine. Time to take out the political lexicon of Dems and Rhinos. The government shutdown should be dealt with in a bipartisan way. Doesn't that bring a tear to your eye? Bipartisanship. That's what the American people want to see. Bipartisanship. Translation. Trump, in the fine tradition of previous bipartisan Republican-Democrat deals, should cave in, let the Democrats have their way, and get absolutely nothing in return. Then we can finally have bipartisanship. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170 and 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'll be back with some of your comments.
You know, it's common in today's uncertain economy to feel apprehensive. After all, the seemingly limitless choices in the housing market can look quite confusing. You might even know people who've shared their difficult experiences with the housing market, sometimes losing money instead of what they had hoped would be a simple and profitable procedure. Well, here's the good news. Realty Executive All Area is here to help. Our track record is proven. Listen, since 1994, we've sold thousands of homes in the San Diego area. What may seem like an obstacle to you is just a challenge for us. We thrive on multitasking and achieving goals. When faced with opportunities or unique situations, our level of determination goes into overdrive. We're confident we can use our skills to attend to your personal needs.
You can reach my friend Fred Valduti at 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717.
Or fredfalduti.com. That's Fred, FALDUTI.com.
The sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is called Inside the Castle in the Glass, and already this entertaining sequel is getting great reviews from customers on Amazon.com. Reviews such as this one. Very clever way of introducing certain life principles in a fictional setting. I thoroughly enjoyed the story. Here's another review. I picked up this book at a book signing with Bob Siegel on a Friday. By Monday morning before work, I finished it. This is over 500 pages of story. I couldn't put it down. I would plan to put it down at the end of the chapter, then something big would take place. I would have to continue to see what happened. A lot of unexpected twists and turns and a lot of things you can't imagine. Things that make you say, "What?" By the way, I am pushing 60 years old and I enjoyed this book and look forward to more of Bob's books. Keep them coming. Inside the Castle in the Glass, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 AM and 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. If you'd like to weigh in on anything we talked about today, you can reach me on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. That's questions@bobsiegel.net. Regarding the infanticides being masked under the term abortion, Reese says unconscionable. Bill says, this just shows how far progressives will go to further their agendas and their total disregard for the sanctity of life. Taking the life of a baby after birth does not recognize the Constitution in any way. Those who follow the new law in New York and the taking of a baby's life after birth will have to answer to God. Enough said. David says, my heart is filled with emotion and pain as our politicians rush to legalize every form of abortion possible, including post-term abortion. Abortion clinics are making millions by selling aborted baby tissue to drug companies and research facilities. God, please save us from ourselves. Joy says, I can't even imagine a late-term abortion. Well, very few people can, Joy. That's why they get away with infanticide, because infanticide is something unthinkable to most of our country. By repeating an alternative phrase such as abortion, the impact of what is happening is described with less of a sting. Of course, anyone who looks at pictures or films of babies inside the womb, even in the first trimester, realizes that this has always been a type of infanticide. Regarding Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Karen says she's a total ditz, living now under the El Primo ditz of all time, Nancy baby, that cute 78-year-old multimillionaire. Sonny Boy, that's his nickname on the internet, says, let's face it, the ignoramuses, a.k.a. the lefties, aren't noted for having any common sense. Tom says, and to think that these imbeciles seem to think that they are the educated party. Loretta says, educated idiots, no common sense. Ray, in Jackie Gleason honeymooners fashion, so only some of you will get this, says, one of these days, Alice,
Now, regarding last week's show and the question co-host Jim Barrier put to me, if I think we're on the brink of a civil war, David says, sad but true, storing ammo even as we speak. Well, David, I hope it doesn't come with violence, but there is definitely a battle going on for the soul of our country. Regarding the question I put out last week about Democrats claiming to reach out to Republicans in good faith for a temporary 3-week reopening of the government in exchange for a discussion about the wall, I had posed a question. Why were they unwilling to discuss it during the 35 days of the shutdown? Where was their good faith then? Well, in response to that, Teddy says, when a person sells their soul to the devil, they lose their common sense. Selfishness abounds. Blah. Steve says, I feel like the president caved. What did we get for the 30 days we were down? Nothing. I guess we will see what happens in the next 21 days. I think a lot of Trump supporters are not going to support him anymore. I've had the same fear, Steve, although the last poll I heard, and this was just days after the shutdown, I haven't heard a more recent one, but that wasn't too long ago. It showed his approval rating staying the same, even after he made that stupid deal. Let's hope it stays that way. Art says, I think he's smart, taking responsibility, saying the buck stops with him, and preparing to address the next caravan with paid people. It's not over. Richard says, but he pulled a good one. Congress leaves town on Thursday. He made them come back. The vote on Attorney General will happen before 2:15. Will there be cooperation? Folks get paid with Schumer and Pelosi promising cooperation. I think it's a great PR move. Bill says, I don't think the president caved, but made a tactical move that the Democrats must respond to. If after 3 weeks there isn't any movement by Nancy, I truly believe that a state of emergency will be declared. Then President Trump will build the wall, citing national security concerns. He has the power to do it. And I've already heard that the Ninth Circuit may file suit to end said state of emergency. However, when the Ninth Circuit is taken to the Supreme Court, President Trump will prevail, getting around Nancy and her progressive friends. Just my humble opinion. Well, I hope you're right, Bill. Unfortunately, the far-left Marxist groups and other special interest groups are all the Democrats care about right now, and those people want Trump's head on a platter. At the moment, they are unconcerned how they look to thinking people. Joyce says, I can barely stand listening to any of the news. I can't blame you for that, Joy. I can't blame you for that. Regarding the forthcoming Academy Awards and my very easy prediction last week that it will be little more than a hate Trump fest, John says, I'd like to thank the Academy for nothing. Thanks for nothing. Concerning the appointment of Barr and whether or not he will be loyal to the deep state, Russ says, never underestimate Donald Trump and his sense of timing. Remember that he was an alpha dog in a city of alpha dogs and that he defeated every opponent in the last presidential election against all the odds with the deck stacked against him. He did not just fall off the turnip, Trump. Well, Russ, in general, I do have a respect for Trump's choices and instincts. However, Jeff Sessions was one of those choices. And while he may not have been a member of the deep state, he might just as well have been for all the good he did Trump. And Kavanaugh, another appointment whom Trump stood by in thick and thin, has already upheld funds for Planned Parenthood on one of his first Supreme Court decisions. He also talks too much about the importance of legal precedent. I do not view his job as that of upholding precedent, but upholding the literal Constitution. Regarding my comments last week about Trump bringing out the worst in people and what a pathetic excuse that is for people who will not take responsibility for their actions, Gail writes to me on Facebook, says, well said. Robbie writes, you said that right. Keep on telling the truth. Hopefully the public will begin to recognize it. Mike says, I think politicians are surprised how he runs rings around them, that he isn't stupid, and that he doesn't back down. He also tried to do in a very public way what he said he would do. That is correct, Mike. Just imagine a politician actually keeping his promises. A whole new idea. Nobody seems to quite know what to do with it. Tim says, everyone is responsible for their own actions, but that said, what kind of example should we expect from our president? Well, I'm happy to answer that, Tim. What I expect from the president is for him to keep his campaign promises. I expect nothing more. I expect nothing less. All this talk about somebody needing to act presidential is a lot of malarkey. I didn't vote for Jesus Christ. I voted for a flawed, sinful human being. There are all kinds of presidents who have acted presidential. People say Obama acted presidential. People say Carter acted presidentially. They were two of the worst presidents we ever had. I remember a story about Abraham Lincoln. Now, there's some debate about whether or not the story is apocryphal, but it sure sounds like something Lincoln would say. It sure matches his personality. He had been very frustrated by a general named Fremont who just wouldn't advance, who kept playing it safe. He was much happier with General Grant, but under Grant, the Union, although was winning, there were some problems. Somebody told the president once that Grant had a serious vice. He drank too much. Lincoln replied, "If I can find out what he's drinking, I'll serve it to all of my officers." Well, in the wake of this heavy news week, let's lighten things up a little. A friend of mine posted this to her Facebook page. I don't think I'm going to have time to read all of it because we're getting down to our last few minutes. It comes from the internet and is uncredited. Otherwise, I would give credit to the writer, but I want to at least tell you I didn't write it, but I found it quite humorous. I'll read as much of it as I can. "Why men are never depressed." I can at least guarantee you this. It was probably written by a woman. "Why men are never depressed. Men are just happier people. What do you expect from such simple creatures? Your last name stays put. The garage is all yours. Wedding plans take care of themselves. Chocolate is just another snack. You can never be pregnant. You can wear a white t-shirt to a water park. You can wear no shirt to a water park. Call mechanics. They'll tell you the truth. The world is your urinal. You never have to drive to another gas station restroom because this one is just too icky. You don't have to stop and think of which way to turn a nut on a bolt. Same work, more pay. Wrinkles add character. Wedding dress, $5,000. Tux rental, $100. People never stare at your chest when you're talking to them. New shoes don't cut, blister, or mangle your feet. One mood all the time. Phone conversations are over in 30 seconds flat. You know stuff about tanks. A 5-day vacation requires only one suitcase. You can open all your own jars. You get extra credit for the slightest act of thoughtfulness. If someone forgets to invite you, he or she can still be your friend. Your underwear is $8.95 for a 3-pack. 3 pairs of shoes are more than enough. You almost never have strap problems in public. You are unable to see wrinkles on your clothes. Everything on your face stays its original color. The same hairstyle lasts for years, even decades. You only have to shave your face and neck. You can play with toys all your life. One wallet and one pair of shoes, one color for all seasons. You can wear shorts no matter how your legs look. You can do your nails with a pocket knife. You have freedom of choice concerning growing a mustache. You can do Christmas shopping for 25 relatives on December 24th in 25 minutes. Men are just happier. Nicknames. If Laura, Kate, and Sarah go out for lunch, they will call each other Laura, Kate, and Sarah. If Mike, Dave, and John go out, they will affectionately refer to each other as Fat Boy, Bubba, and Wild Man. Eating out. When the bill comes, Mike, Dave, and John will each throw in $20, even though it's only for $32.50. None of them will have anything smaller, and none will actually admit they want change back. When the girls get their bill, out come the pocket calculators. We'll see you next week, everybody.
The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.